Welcome to day 241 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita, your host, and we are continuing today in the book of Ezekiel. We are reading from the New American Standard Bible, and today we will cover Ezekiel chapters 9 through 12. In yesterday's reading, we heard in chapter 8 that Ezekiel was sitting in his house with some of the elders of Judah, when suddenly the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he had a very supernatural or mystical experience because he saw a hand reach out, catch him by the lock of the hairs of his head, and lift him up between heaven and earth. And Ezekiel said, "He brought me in the visions of God to Jerusalem, to the entrance of the north gate of the inner court." And so in vision, in a spiritual vision, God had taken him from Babylon, where he was a captive, back to Jerusalem. And the Lord showed him the evil things that the rulers who had been left in Jerusalem were doing, how they were worshiping false gods and the different evil practices that they were doing in the very temple of God. So as we open in chapter 9 today, understand that this is a continuation of what God was showing to Ezekiel when he lifted him up in the spirit and began taking him to Jerusalem, and how God was speaking to him and telling him to make certain declarations and prophetic things. So as we start chapter 9, when you hear these words, "Then he cried out in my hearing," it's a reference to the Lord talking to Ezekiel and telling Ezekiel what he is to say. So beginning at chapter 9 and starting at the first verse of Ezekiel in the New American Standard Bible. "Then he cried out in my hearing with a loud voice, saying, 'Draw near, O executioners of the city, each with his destroying weapon in his hand.' Behold, 6 men came from the direction of the upper gate, which faces north, each with his shattering weapon in his hand. And among them was a certain man clothed in linen with a writing case at his loins. And they went in and stood beside the bronze altar. Then the glory of the God of Israel went up from the cherub on which it had been to the threshold of the temple. And he called to the man clothed in linen, at whose loins was the writing case. The Lord said to him, 'Go through the midst of the city, even through the midst of Jerusalem, and put a mark on the foreheads of the men who sigh and groan over all the abominations which are being committed in its midst.' But to the others he said in my hearing, 'Go through the city after him and strike. Do not let your eye have pity and do not spare. Utterly slay old men, young men, maidens, little children, and women. But do not touch any man on whom is the mark, and you shall start from my sanctuary.' So they started with the elders who were before the temple. And he said to them, 'Defile the temple and fill the courts with the slain. Go out.' Thus they went out and struck down the people in the city. As they were striking the people, and I alone was left, I fell on my face and cried out, saying, 'Alas, Lord God, are you destroying the whole remnant of Israel by pouring out your wrath on Jerusalem?' Then he said to me, 'The iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is very, very great, and the land is filled with blood, and the city is full of perversion. For they say, "The Lord has forsaken the land, and the Lord does not see." But as for me, my eye will have no pity, nor will I spare, but I will bring their conduct upon their heads. Then behold, the man clothed in linen, at whose loins was the writing case, reported, saying, 'I have done just as you have commanded me.'" Chapter 10. Then I looked, And behold, in the expanse that was over the heads of the cherubim, something like a sapphire stone in appearance, resembling a throne, appeared above them. And he spoke to the man clothed in linen and said, "Enter between the whirling wheels under the cherubim and fill your hands with coals of fire from between the cherubim and scatter them over the city." And he entered in my sight. Now the cherubim were standing on the right side of the temple when the man entered, and the cloud filled the inner court. Then the glory of the Lord went up from the cherub to the threshold of the temple, and the temple was filled with the cloud, and the court was filled with the brightness of the glory of the Lord. Moreover, the sound of the wings of the cherubim was heard as far as the outer court, like the voice of God Almighty when he speaks. It came about when he had commanded the man clothed in linen, saying, "Take fire from between the whirling wheels, from between the cherubim." He entered and stood beside a wheel. Then the cherub stretched out his hand from between the cherubim to the fire, which was between the cherubim, and took some and put it into the hands of the one clothed in linen, who took it and went out. The cherubim appeared to have the form of a man's hand under their wings. Then I looked, and behold, four wheels beside the cherubim, one wheel beside each cherub. And the appearance of the wheels was like the gleam of a Tarshish stone. As for their appearance, all four of them had the same likeness, as if one wheel were within another wheel. When they moved, they went in any of their four directions without turning as they went, but they followed in that direction which they faced without turning as they went. Their whole body, their backs, their hands, their wings, and the wheels were full of eyes all around, the wheels belonging to all four of them. The wheels were called, in my hearing, the whirling wheels. And each one had four faces. The first face was the face of a cherub. The second face was the face of a man. The third, the face of a lion. And the fourth, the face of an eagle. Then the cherubims rose up. They are the living beings that I saw by the river Kivar. Now, when the cherubim move, the wheels would go beside them. Also, when the cherubim lifted up their wings to rise from the ground, the wheels would not turn from beside them. When the cherubim stood still, the wheels would stand still. And when they rose up, the wheels would rise with them, for the spirit of the living beings was in them. Then the glory of the Lord departed from the threshold of the temple and stood over the cherubim. When the cherubim departed, they lifted their wings and rose up from the earth in my sight with the wheels beside them. And they stood still at the entrance of the east gate of the Lord's house, and the glory of the God of Israel hovered over them. These are the living beings that I saw beneath the God of Israel by the river Kivar. So I knew that they were cherubim. Each one had four faces, and each one had four wings, and beneath their wings was the form of human hands. As for the likeness of their faces, they were the same faces whose appearance I had seen by the river Kivar. Each one went straight ahead. Chapter 11. Moreover, the Spirit lifted me up and brought me to the east gate of the Lord's house, which faced eastward. And behold, there were 25 men at the entrance of the gate. And among them I saw Jaazaniah the son of Azur, and Pelatiah son of Benaiah, leaders of the people. He said to me, "Son of man, these are the men who devise iniquity and give evil advice in this city, who say, The time is not near to build houses. The city is the pot, and we are the flesh. Therefore, prophesy against them. Son of man, prophesy. Then the Spirit of the Lord fell upon me, and he said to me, Say, thus says the Lord. So you think, house of Israel, for I know your thoughts. You have multiplied your slain in this city, filling its streets with them. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, your slain whom you have laid in the midst of the city are the flesh, and this city is the pot. But I will bring you out of it. You have feared a sword, so I will bring a sword upon you, the Lord God declares. And I will bring you out of the midst of the city and deliver you into the hands of strangers and execute judgments against you. You will fall by the sword. I will judge you to the border of Israel, so you shall know that I am the Lord. This city will not be a pot for you, nor will you be flesh in the midst of it, but I will judge you to the border of Israel. Thus you will know that I am the Lord, for you have not walked in my statutes, nor have you executed my ordinances, but have acted according to the ordinances of the nations around you. Now it came about, as I prophesied, that Pelatiah, son of Benaiah, died. Then I fell on my face and cried out with a loud voice and said, Alas, Lord God, will you bring the remnant of Israel to a complete end? Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, your brothers, your relatives, your fellow exiles, and the whole house of Israel, all of them, are those to whom the inhabitants of Jerusalem have said, Go far from the Lord, this land has been given us as a possession. Therefore say, Thus says the Lord God, Though I had removed them far away among the nations, and though I had scattered them among the countries, yet I was a sanctuary for them a little while in the countries where they had gone. Therefore say, Thus says the Lord, I will gather you from the peoples and assemble you out of the countries among which you have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. When they come here, they will remove all its detestable things and all its abominations from it. And I will give them one heart and put a new spirit within them. And I will take the heart of stone out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances and do them. Then they will be my people, and I shall be their God. But as for those whose hearts go after their detestable things and abominations, I will bring their conduct down on their heads, declares the Lord God. Then the cherubim lifted up their wings with the wheels beside them, and the glory of the God of Israel hovered over them. The glory of the Lord went up from the midst of the city and stood over the mountain, which is east of the city. And the Spirit lifted me up and brought me in a vision by the Spirit of God to the exiles in Chaldea. So the vision that I had seen left me. Then I told the exiles all the things that the Lord had shown me. Chapter 12. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, you live in the midst of the rebellious house, who have eyes to see but do not see, ears to hear but do not hear, for they are a rebellious house. Therefore, son of man, prepare for yourself baggage for exile, and go into exile by day in their sight. Even go into exile from your place to another place in their sight. Perhaps they will understand, though they are a rebellious house. bring your baggage out by day in their sight, as baggage for exile. Then you will go out at evening in their sight, as those going into exile. Dig a hole through the wall in their sight and go out through it. Load the baggage on your shoulder in their sight and carry it out in the dark. You shall cover your face so that you cannot see the land, for I have set you as a sign to the house of Israel. I did so as I had been commanded. By day, I brought out my baggage, like the baggage of an exile. Then, in the evening, I dug through the wall with my hands. I went out in the dark and carried the baggage on my shoulder in their sight. In the morning, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, has not the house of Israel, the rebellious house, said to you, What are you doing? Say to them, Thus says the Lord God, This burden concerns the prince in Jerusalem, as well as all the house of Israel who are in it. Say, I am a sign to you. As I have done, so it will be done to them. They will go into exile, into captivity. The prince who is among them will load his baggage on his shoulder in the dark and go out. They will dig a hole through the wall to bring it out. He will cover his face so that he cannot see the land with his eyes. I will also spread my net over him, and he will be caught in my snare. And I will bring him to Babylon, in the land of the Chaldeans. Yet he will not see it, though he will die there. I will scatter to every wind all who are around him, his helpers and all his troops, and I will draw out a sword after them, so they will know that I am the Lord when I scatter them among the nations and spread them among the countries. But I will spare a few of them from the sword, the famine, and the pestilence, that they may tell all their abominations among the nations where they go, and may know that I am the Lord. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, eat your bread with trembling, and drink your water with quivering and anxiety. Then say to the people of the land, Thus says the Lord God concerning the inhabitants of Jerusalem in the land of Israel. They will eat their bread with anxiety and drink their water with horror, because their land will be stripped of all its fullness on account of the violence of all who live in it. The inhabited cities will be laid waste, and the land will be a desolation. So you will know that I am the Lord. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, what is this proverb you people have concerning the land of Israel, saying, The days are long and every vision fails? Therefore say to them, Thus says the Lord God, I will make this proverb cease, so that they will no longer use it as a proverb in Israel. But tell them, The days draw near as well as the fulfillment of every vision. For there will no longer be any false vision or flattering divination within the house of Israel. For I, the Lord, will speak, and whatever word I speak will be performed. It will no longer be delayed, for in your days, O rebellious house, I will speak the word and perform it, declares the Lord. Furthermore, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, behold, the house of Israel is saying, The vision that he sees is for many years from now, and he prophesies of times far off. Therefore say to them, Thus says the Lord God, None of my words will be delayed any longer. Whatever word I speak will be performed, declares the Lord God. This is the end of today's scripture reading. In today's passages, we heard more of the amazing visions that the Lord gave to the prophet Ezekiel. And it's been said that Ezekiel was the prophet of the Holy Spirit, that Isaiah was the prophet of the Son of God, of the Messiah, as we heard many messianic prophecies in Isaiah, and that Jeremiah was the prophet of the Father, expressing the sorrow of the Father God over his wayward children. For certain, Ezekiel is the prophet of the Spirit of God, because we hear these amazing revelations and spiritual visions that he receives. And when we began in the ninth chapter today, he was in the Spirit looking at things that were happening in Jerusalem, even though he was physically present as a captive living in Babylon. So in this vision, he saw a man with a linen garment with a writing case strapped to his waist, and that the Lord spoke to that man who was clothed in the linen and told him to go through the midst of Jerusalem and put a mark on the foreheads of the men who were sighing and groaning with sorrow over all the wickedness and the abominations which were being committed in Jerusalem. And then he told these other men, who were undoubtedly all angelic figures, they were no doubt angels that God was directing, and told them to go through the city after the man with the linen clothing on, the guy who was putting the mark on the foreheads of the men who wept over the wickedness that was happening, go after him and then strike every person who didn't have the mark on his head. So we see here judgment. It's a picture of God's judgment, that he does and will judge wickedness. The day comes when God will do that. Back then, at the time of Ezekiel, the Lord did it in his day, historically. We also know it will happen again at the end of time, at the end of the ages. God will do the same thing. There will be a judgment where the wicked and the righteous are separated, and God will not punish the righteous with the wicked. So Ezekiel is seeing these amazing things, and he's getting the revelation, even though he's in Babylon, about what God was going to do. Because at the time he received this vision, it was before the Babylonian king had gone in and burnt the city of Jerusalem to ashes. It was before that. So this had not yet occurred, and yet this was a vision of desolation of the city of Jerusalem. And the Lord explains to Ezekiel in that vision. He tells him the iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is very, very great, and the land is filled with blood, a reference to the violence in the land among brethren, not from the outside, but within it. You know, we live in a day when violence is so prevalent, where random shootings, random violence happens all around us in the big cities in which we are living, and even in the small towns occasionally. So the Lord is explaining to Ezekiel that the wickedness of the house of Israel and Judah has become so great, and the land so full of violence, and it goes on to say, and the city is full of perversion. So the Lord is explaining, due to the violence, the wickedness, and the sexual immorality, the perversion, for those reasons, God was going to bring judgment upon them. He said, I will bring their conduct upon their heads. Those were God's words to Ezekiel. Then in chapter 10, we heard that the vision that Ezekiel saw had to do with God's glory departing from the temple. Now think about that. The glory of the Lord, literally, in a tangible sense, what's called the Shekinah glory of God, this heavy, weighty presence of God, was in the temple. over the cherubim, over the mercy seat, in the Holy of Holies. And there was literally a presence of God, physical presence, that they would sense this glory of the Lord there, promised by God for the people of Israel. And yet Ezekiel saw a vision of God's glory departing from the temple. No longer would the glory of the Lord stay in the midst of such abominations, wickedness, sexual perversion, violence, and complete and total disregard for all of God's commandments and the ways of the Lord. So Ezekiel saw the cloud of the glory of God that filled the temple, that filled that inner court, and how the glory of the Lord went up. It went to the threshold of the temple, and then it went out to the court, and then eventually just lifted up and went over to the Mount of Olives area. So Ezekiel saw physically with his eyes in this spiritual vision the departure of the glory of God because of the wickedness of the people. You know, that's a word for us. We don't want the glory of the Lord to depart from our lives. We don't want the Spirit of God to ever leave us. You know, David knew the presence of God. He knew the preciousness of it, because when he sinned against the Lord with Bathsheba and with the murder of Bathsheba's husband Uriah, after that sin and after he repented from that sin, he prayed in Psalm 51, "Take not your Holy Spirit from me." He did not want the glory of the Lord, the presence of God, the Spirit of God, to depart from his life like the glory of the Lord departed from the temple in the time of Ezekiel. And you know, we can grieve the Holy Spirit with our own actions, with our own heart condition, with our own thought life, and cause that withdrawal of the Spirit of God because of our pursuit of sin. And that's something we have to guard ourselves and pray like David, "Take not your Holy Spirit from me." As the vision continued, Ezekiel saw something else, and it was a prophetic revelation that the city of Jerusalem was going to burn with fire. We heard that he saw this vision where God commanded the man that was clothed in linen, so that angelic figure, to take fire from between the cherubim, these whirling wheels with these cherubim creatures, which are another type of angel. And it says that the cherub stretched out his hand to the fire, which was between the cherubim, took some of it and put it into the hand of the one who was clothed in linen, and he went out. And this is undoubtedly a prophetic vision of what was going to happen, that literally fire would go out into the city of Jerusalem and burn it to the ground. And we know historically that Jerusalem was burned down by Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, one of the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar's servants, and he came doing the king of Babylon's bidding, burned the house of God, the temple, and then all the major houses of Jerusalem and the walls, and total and utter destruction came to the city of Jerusalem, as was prophesied by Ezekiel and Jeremiah as well. And I point this out just to show how accurate the prophetic messages that Ezekiel received from the Lord, and then he also declared them to the people of Israel who were captives in Babylon, and how accurate they were and how they came to pass. Let me share one more that we heard in today's reading, and it's from the 12th chapter. And this was another one of those prophetic acts or object lessons that the Lord had the prophet Ezekiel demonstrate before the people. And this was an interesting one, because remember, the people in Babylon with Ezekiel were already in captivity. They had been carried away, exiled to Babylon. They're no longer living in their place. But listen to what Ezekiel had to do. The Lord told him to prepare baggage as if he was going into exile, and then go into exile by day in their sight, move from one place to another, and this will be a sign to them. And he had him take his baggage out by day, and then in the evening dig a hole in the wall, then go through the wall carrying out his baggage and carry it out into the dark and cover his face so he could not see the land, because the Lord told him, I have set you as a sign to the house of Israel. So Ezekiel did exactly what the Lord commanded him to do. And of course, the people asked him, what are you doing? And the Lord told him what to answer. He told him to say, this burden concerns the prince in Jerusalem, as well as all the house of Israel who are in it. And he told him to tell them, I am assigned to you. As I have done, so will it be done to them. They will go into exile, into captivity. The prince who is among them will load his baggage on his shoulder in the dark and go out, dig a hole through the wall to bring it out, and cover his face so he can't see the land with his eyes. And then the Lord went on to tell him that he was going to spread his net over him, catch him in his snare, and bring him to Babylon in the land of the Chaldeans, yet he will not see it, though he will die there. Now, what did that mean? Remember, when Ezekiel was in Babylon with the other captive Israelites, there were still people living in Jerusalem. Not everyone was taken away captive. And at the time that he wrote this down, Zedekiah was the king, or the appointed king by the Babylonians. He was a Jew, but he was appointed as the king in the land, and he was supposed to be serving Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. So the day came when Zedekiah rebelled against Nebuchadnezzar, as you'll remember from our previous readings. And then Nebuchadnezzar came and made war against Jerusalem again, big siege. They built the siege walls around the wall, trying to break through. So there was this horrible time of trying to defend the city, and the Babylonians trying to destroy and trying to break through the wall. So there was this terrible time, and there was famine, and no one had food, and it was just an absolutely horrific season because they were trying to resist the Babylonians. But Ezekiel is told what's going to happen, because those captives who were in Babylon already, who had already been carried off, those Israelites, held out a vain hope that Zedekiah was going to come and rescue them from Babylon. But Ezekiel clearly tells them from the Lord that that prince that you're counting on over there is going to end up sneaking out in the night by digging a hole through the wall of Jerusalem and trying to get out himself and trying to go out into the night and escape. But God was going to have him be captured, brought back to Babylon. And those words that I read to you that said, he will be caught and he will come to Babylon, yet he will not see it, though he will die there. That was prophetically accurate, because remember what happened to Zedekiah? When Nebuchadnezzar had him brought to him to judge him for rebelling, Zedekiah had his sons were slain in front of his eyes. And then after Nebuchadnezzar killed his sons in front of him, he had his eyes put out. In other words, he blinded him. So this word that Ezekiel told them, that he would be taken to Babylon, the prince, referring to Zedekiah, would be taken to Babylon, though he would never see it, and that he would die there. And that's exactly what happened to Zedekiah. He died in Babylon in captivity, but he never saw it because he was blind when he was carried off from Israel. So the accuracy level of the prophet Ezekiel, these revelations he got from the Lord, were so exact. And so the Lord had Ezekiel tell the captive Israelites who are living in Babylon with him, don't get your hopes up that Zedekiah is going to come and rescue you out of Babylon. In fact, he's going to be taken captive like we have been and brought to Babylon that way. So He was trying to give them that reality that God was showing him so they wouldn't have some vain hope. God had fully intended to judge and punish the wickedness that the Israelites had done in the land of Israel. And he clearly stated the reasons for it. Blood had filled the land, which was a reference to violence. Perversion had filled the land. And they all said, God doesn't see it. So they had become completely not even having any faith or recognition that God was aware of their activities. But in the midst of all of this sad statements and sad prophecies that the prophet Ezekiel was required by the Lord to deliver, these messages, in the midst of it, there's a message of hope. God always has a message of hope in the midst of it all. And it was a promise of restoration. The word of the Lord came to Ezekiel saying that the Lord was going to restore the land to the Israelites, even though they had been scattered among the nations. God was going to bring them back. And we see this as a recurrent theme throughout Jeremiah and in Isaiah and also here in Ezekiel, that I will gather you from the peoples, assemble you out of all the countries from which you have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. And as I have mentioned before, this prophecy has come to pass in 1948 when the nation of Israel was born in a day. In a day, the nation became a nation. Israel didn't even exist as a nation until 1948 when a UN declaration carved out this piece of land in the Middle East and called it Israel with Jerusalem as the capital. So God's word always comes to pass and his promises always will come to pass in God's perfect timing. But the promise that is so priceless to me that's nestled here in the 11th chapter that is so beautiful, and it applies to us as much as it applied to the children of Israel at that time of Ezekiel and even today. This is the promise, and it's so beautiful. The Lord said in Ezekiel 11, and I will give them one heart and put a new spirit within them. And I will take the heart of stone out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances and do them. Then they will be my people and I shall be their God. God loves to give people a new heart, a new spirit within them. He loves to take out the heart of stone in any person and give them a heart of flesh, a soft heart towards the Lord that gives them a desire to walk in the ways of God. God intended that for the people of Israel. He intends it still for the people of Israel. He intends it for any person who's willing to turn their heart towards the Lord. He will take out this heart of stone. If you live in this world and you have never given your heart to the Lord, there's only one kind of heart you can have, and it is a heart of stone. We become hard-hearted as we see all the wickedness around us, as we encounter people who don't know God and who mistreat us and don't do right toward us. People's hearts become hard through that sort of thing and through life experiences. But God alone can take the heart of stone out of a person, the heart that's hard, makes it hard for them to love people, the heart that of stone that makes it impossible to forgive people who've hurt you, the heart of stone that makes you angry when somebody crosses you. That heart of stone, God says he can take the heart of stone out and give a heart of flesh, and they'll walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances and do them. They'll be my people and I'll be their God. That's God's heart's desire for every single person on the earth. One of the most dramatic examples I've ever seen of that very scripture speaking and breathing life over someone comes from a time when my husband and I very young, in our 20s, were working as counselors in a home for troubled children. And one of the boys, teenage boys, that was brought there to live, and we were essentially the house parents, we lived with these boys most of the week. One of these boys was named Max, and Max was the angriest child I had ever met in my entire life. He didn't want to be there. He cursed at us from the moment he saw us. He wouldn't look us in the eye, and the only words that would come out of his mouth when I would try to talk to him were curses and disrespect of every kind. And he was one angry child. He had experienced a lot of hurt in his life, alcoholism in the home, rejection, been beaten, and many things that had caused him to be so full of anger. And then being removed from the home and placed in this facility, it was a group home, he was so very, very angry. And so though we tried with all of our hearts to try to show love to him, he would not receive it. I would try to just pat him on the shoulder, on the back, and he would resist as if I had struck him. And this went on. And we really prayed for God to bring a breakthrough in Max's life. Well, one day, after continuously showing love in word and deed in every possible way, we had some young men, Christian young men, that went to our church and were in the youth group there, who invited Max to go with them to youth group. And so he did. And he began going weekly. And we were amazed at his even willingness to go. But then the time came when they were having a winter retreat for the teenagers, and they invited Max to go for that weekend retreat. And Max went willingly. When he returned from that retreat, he had been given a Bible, and he brought me the Bible, and he showed me the verse that I just read to you out of Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 19. And I will give them one heart and put a new spirit within them, and I will take the heart of stone out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh. Max showed me that scripture. He told me that he was instructed with all the other young people to go sit somewhere by themselves and open the Bible and ask God to speak to them, and how he had opened his Bible, found that verse, and how it came so alive to him that God was willing to take the heart of stone out of him and give him a soft heart. And from that day forward, we began to see such a change. He felt like God had spoken to him personally, and it was quite a personal revelation for him. And we began to see a transformation in Max that only God could do. The heart of stone, that angry heart of stone that he continuously displayed to everyone around him, the other boys that lived in the house as well as to us, the house parents, began to change so dramatically. He softened. He changed in every possible way. And we saw God do the very work that's described here in Ezekiel 11 in the life of that young teenage boy. God changed his heart. God gave him a new heart. God wants to do that for every person on the earth. If there's any place in your heart that's become a little bit hard, a little bit angry, a little bit unforgiving, a little bit impatient with people, ask the Lord to take out the stony places in your heart and give you a new heart, so that you too can have a softened spirit towards the Lord and toward other people. That's a work that only God can do, and he longs to do it in the heart of everyone. And if you'll pray and ask him, like Max did, he will do it for you. God bless you and give you a victorious week.